Let us pray. Our precious Father, I want to thank you for the privilege we have again tonight to study the scriptures. We are looking up to you that by your Spirit and your mercy will teach us tonight and help us to understand this very important topic so that we can live the life you created us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're still looking at being led by the Holy Spirit. I think this is part two or part three. No, I think it's part two. We must be familiar with our identity or we will not understand how the Holy Spirit leads us. And then again, that is how we also live our Christian lives that God planned for us according to Scripture. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus." Why? So we can do the good things he planted for us long ago. So we can do the good things he planted for us long ago. He created us in Christ Jesus, not the one he formed from the earth. He created us in Christ Jesus by the circumcision, not made with hand, and by the work of the Holy Spirit. He created us a spirit being so that this spirit being in whom the life of God is, in whom the nature of God is, can now do the good things which our flesh could not do. The Bible says our flesh could not keep the laws of God. Because of the weakness of the flesh, we couldn't live according to God's standard. And so God created this man that can do it. And now if we do not understand who we are, we will neglect this man. We will put this man at the back burner and quench him. And so living the Christian life becomes almost impossible. So it's important that we listen to this teaching today and understand it very well. Paul had this difficulty, like we said on Sunday. And we need to go through these things again to reinforce this understanding before we go to teach about how we are led by the Holy Spirit. And you are going to see that everything you do as a Christian is by this spirit man. All of it. And so Paul had this difficulty because he didn't know and understand that he was a spirit being. He didn't know that. He didn't recognize that. It wasn't what he knew. He said so in Romans chapter 7 verse 14. So the trouble is not with the law. The trouble is not with the law. If you read chapter 8, he said what the law could not do because of the weakness of the flesh, God did. God did. So the problem is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all human, too human, a slave to sin. I'm all too human, a slave to sin. So you see that his problem was that he saw himself as human. And human, truly, is a slave to sin. Because that's not the world created to do the good works. God didn't create the flesh to do the good works. He created the spirit man, the new man, the born again man. Without being born again, you can't be in the kingdom of God. You can't be a child of God. So God created this man to do the good works, not the human, not the flesh. So Paul said, sure, I'm all human and a slave to sin. And that's correct. Absolutely true. Because this flesh is a flesh of sin. So he had that difficulty because he had a wrong impression, understanding of who he was. And like we said, it produced frustration for him. And that's what happens in a lot of Christian lives. When we do not understand these truths, we also face frustrations of things we know we shouldn't be doing, but we're doing them. Especially those things that mess up our testimony in public. It brings frustration. It really brings frustration. And sometimes we think that saying that, oh, this is my weakness, that's being humble. That's not being humble. That's being ignorant. Totally being ignorant. The Bible says, let these things not once be mentioned among us has become a saint. So we have made, it's like a badge of honor by saying, you know, is this my weakness? And then we think by saying all that kind of stuff that we're being humble. We're saying we're all human. That's what we're saying. The same problem that Paul had, I'm all too human. So it brings frustration. It's the kind of mindset that is not going to help you live the Christian life. In Romans 8 verse 5, see what that kind of mindset does. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. They set their minds of, I'm all flesh. I'm all human. Am I not human? That's how we give excuse. Am I not human? After all, we're all human. So we set our minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. They don't use human as excuse. Then in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. Well, as long as we have this I'm all human thing, the Bible says we will cut fellowship with God. Because that human thing is a slave to sin. And God is not. It will lead to death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because we're living by this man that was created by God for good works. For good works. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who live with this mindset, I'm all human and I see myself as human, they cannot please God. Religion is part of it, because you can have a religious package that you think is okay. But that's not what God created us for. He didn't create us to produce a religion that that gives me a different split personality. In some places I'm a saint, in some places I am not. It's all part of flesh being sinful. Because we should be people who are truthful in everything we do. And in John chapter 20, verse 25, see this mindset, what it does. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. But was Paul actually all human? Are you really all human? And you're waiting until you see the spirit man, then you can believe? Am I really all human? Are you really all human? Was Paul really all human? John 3:6 answers it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So where is that which is born of the spirit? Where is this one? Where is this one born of the spirit? When we talk of the one born of the flesh, but where is the one born of the spirit? 2 Corinthians 5 says, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. So he's calling this one earthly house. It's an earthly house. So where is the spirit that lives in it? How do I identify myself as a house, as this house? Am I in agreement with God in the way God identifies me? Can I walk with God when I disagree with him right from the onset? So, many do not see themselves as God sees us. And if we don't, we don't see God's creation. We do not see that. And it's not going to work, because it's by faith these things work. You got to believe what God is telling you, that you are not all human. You are born of the Spirit. Think of the Spirit you. Be spiritually minded. Forget about this, or I'm all human, because that is living in the realm of limitation. Living in the realm of severe limitation, in the realm you don't have faith. You don't need faith to live as human being. You don't. But without faith, you can't please God. And so, we We say we have eternal life. This eternal life must be somewhere now. Is it in limbo? There must be. Where is the eternal life that Jesus... You know, we quote scriptures, oh, he gave us eternal life. That's all we do. Where is the eternal life now? Where? Where is it? Is it in my head? In my hand? Where is this eternal life? And because it's not natural life, it's a spiritual life, so where is it? What have I been doing with it? 1 John 3:9 tells us, no one born, begotten of God, deliberately, knowingly, habitually practices sin. No one. For God's nature abides in him. Eternal life lives in the spirit man. That's what it is. Abides in him. It's not talking about I'm all flesh, I'm all too flesh. That's not what it's talking about. In the flesh, there is nothing good. Eternal life abides in him. God's nature, the pure, righteous life of God is what you have now in your spirit. Unless you want to be Thomas and say, unless I see the spirit, I won't believe. He says, for God's nature abides in him. His principles of life, the divine sperm, remains permanently within him. And he cannot, brethren, this is the word of the Spirit of God. He cannot practice sin him because he is born, begotten of God. He has a new nature. He cannot. He just cannot because there's no way he can. It's not his nature. It's like saying a man cannot be acting like a dog because it's not a dog. It cannot because his nature is not dog. Can't be acting like a fish because your nature is not fish. That's what the scripture is saying. That this man born again has God's nature and can't act any other way like the flesh. It's not flesh. Flesh is sinful. It's not sinful. Is God sinful? Is there any sin in God? The nature of God is in him. So all these two amount to human thing, are we not human beings? It's carnal mindedness. It's total ignorance of not knowing exactly what being born again means. Not understanding what salvation means. We just talk about it, but we don't even understand it very well. So in verse 10, it says, by this is made clear who take their nature from God and are his children, and who take their nature from the devil and are his children. No one who does not practice righteousness, who does not conform to God, is anyone who does not love his brother, his fellow believer in Christ. Are we going to erase this part of scripture? Are we going to take it, erase and say, I don't like it, erase it? And then keep making excuse, we are all flesh. Are we going to study these things and know them and see it work and see that it really works, that you have a new nature that has the nature of God, that you just live by that, simply by faith. Now, the soul of a man, because we are a spirit being, we live in this body, we said, that we decay and go away, and we have a soul. That's the way God sees us. That's the way God describes me, and that's where I want to see myself. Now, the soul of a man, the center of human intelligence, emotions, feelings, etc., the hub of our mental activities. Scripture calls it heart, calls it soul, calls it mind, depending on the context. In Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Colossians 3:2, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, the spiritual things, not on things that are on the earth. Be spiritual minded. Set your mind on spiritual realities. Set it there. And then carnal mindedness versus spiritual mindedness. Those who see themselves as I'm all too human. like Paul said, problem is I'm all too human. So I'm a slave to sin. You know, people say, this one runs in our family. Oh, my father was like that. My mother was like that. What did I say? I'm all too human. How about the? I thought you said you're born again. I thought you said all things are passed away. I thought that's what you say. So you didn't really mean it, or you didn't understand it, or you didn't believe it. I thought you were telling people I'm born again. What does it mean to be born again? Why do you tell people that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature? What creature is that? Where is this new creature? All things are passed away. What are we telling people? Things we don't believe, things we don't understand, things we don't know. Is that the way to live a Christian life? Is that the life of faith? So those who see themselves as, I'm all too human. You know, I'm like my grandfather. But he said, all things are passed away. I'm created new. I'm a new creature in Christ. And then versus those who see themselves as new creatures, really, that all things are passed away, who see themselves as spirit beings that were born spirit, born of the spirit, not born of the flesh. Those who really see themselves, not those who talk, but don't see, don't understand it. Those who see themselves like that, this group versus this group, and unfortunately, majority of people are in this other canal, fleshly things, and we use it as an excuse. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. My father had it. My mother had it. It runs in our family. You are setting your mind on things of the flesh. Setting your mind on. Oh, in our family, diabetes runs. You are setting your mind on things of the flesh. Oh, in our family, no asthma runs there. You are setting your mind on things of the flesh. Carnal-mindedness leads to death. It will open the door to that thing to happen to you. Because that's what you believe. All the words of the cross that you said, all things are passed away. You didn't include that diabetes. You didn't include that high blood pressure. You didn't include them. You still keep them as yours, denying that Christ, saying, Christ, you didn't give me a new life. There are some things that are mine too. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Things of the Spirit. I'm a new creature. I'm born of the Spirit. I'm born of the Spirit. Diabetes is not for me. That's not my line no more. God is my Father. I'm born of the Father. I'm born of God. Born of the Spirit of God. I have the nature of God. Does the nature of God come down with diabetes? Does the nature of God come down with high blood pressure? Or does it come down with this runs in our family? The nature of God? God, your Father? You are a member of his family? Does those things run in that family? What testimony do we give? Where do we really stand? Where do we stand? Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death. You should know that. You should understand that. So you don't blame your pastor or blame anybody. Because you just have to either believe the scripture or you don't. You either walk by faith or you don't. And that faith is your victory. For to be carnally minded is death. That's what it brings. Bible wrote it before we were born. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Was written before we were born. And you know, these things will limit us severely. 1 Corinthians 3:1. However, brethren, how I could not talk to you as spiritual men. Because you don't see yourself as spiritual. So Paul said, I can't talk to you as spiritual men. You don't see yourself as a spiritual man. You don't. But as to non-spiritual, men of the flesh. Everything is flesh, carnal, natural. The first reaction to anything is mental response. Mental response. And you get information from the television, from all these things. And this is. Paul said, I can't talk to you spiritual things because you live in the carnal realm. You live in the mental realm. You are body ruled. You are flesh controlled. I could not talk to you as spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates. As to mere infants in the new life in Christ, unable to talk yet. Limits us. That's why I'm going through this thing again. That's why I'm going through this thing again. It limits us. So how did Paul change? He was always talking about, I'm human. I'm seeing himself as human and human and human. How did he change? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Really, Paul? I taught your flesh. You were slave to your flesh. So your flesh does not control you no more. You are no more a slave. Really? Christ's love controls us. Why? How did this thing happen, Paul? Since we believe that Christ died for all. See, faith has come in. Faith has come in. Believe that Christ died for all. We also believe that we have all died to our old life. He said, I'm not what I used to be. I'm dying to that old life. Don't connect me with that kind of natural thing. No, I'm a new creature. I believe that. And then 15. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life. Oh, Paul, I thought you were all human, slave to sin. Now you are no more controlled by your flesh because you change what you believe. We receive a new life. We no longer live for themselves in the old life of selfishness, because this new life has the love, God is love, has love controlling it, selflessness. So selfishness is dead. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Verse 16. So we have stopped evaluating others from human point of view. Are you serious, Paul? I thought you were all human. Really? At one time, we thought of Christ merely from human point of view, like many do today. How differently we know him now. Paul, what do you know him now? This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, a spirit being, born of the Spirit. The old life is gone. Connection to your grandfather, grandmother, this course is whatever they call it. I don't know how all these stamps, I don't want to talk about them. Oh, this course runs in their form. Are you serious? Paul said it means. What does it mean? The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Masterpiece created by God for good works. Born of the Spirit. He called it the spirit man. He said, I won't talk to you because you people don't see yourself as spirit men. So if I start telling you about the spirit life, you get confused. You are just body. Your mind is too kind of. Compare that with Romans 7:14. Compare this statement, Romans 7:14. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human. Paul, I'm all too human, a slave to sin. Say, no, I'm no more a slave to sin. In fact, he was so bold. He said, I cannot be brought under the power of anything anymore. He was so bold. He said, what controls me now is not sin. It's not flesh. Is the love of God. I have this new nature that is imparted in my spirit. That's what. Man, as a man thinks, so he will end up being. You think flesh, you are flesh. You think spirit, you are spirit. Now, what this does for us is that if I recognize myself as this new masterpiece that God created for good works, the spirit man, the spirit man born again. Then being born again makes sense to you. It becomes real. Then the value of it begins to kick into your life. Because God, you are born again for good works. So what it does is that it denies your flesh room to control you and to manifest. It denies your flesh activity. It denies it life. It denies your flesh activity. It doesn't allow your flesh to control you. So your flesh gradually is, all that desire and things that used to be strong, gradually dying because you are consistently denying it activity and saying, no, you can't control no more. I'm controlled by the love of God. So you give the new spirit man recognition and attention and opportunity to control your mind. Like Paul said, I can't talk to you as spirit men because you are unspiritual men. You are giving attention to your nature, your flesh, talking all this flesh talk. You have no idea what Christ did on the cross that changed you. And that's how we live this life. Now let's read some scriptures to see what it says. Romans 13, 14. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the new man that has the nature of Christ, give it recognition. Allow him to dominate your life. Remember what Paul said. He said, you are people that you are the carnal life dominates your life. He said, allow Christ who lives in you to dominate your life and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't recognize the flesh. Then in First Corinthians 9, 27. But I keep under my body. See, I don't allow it to control me because the love of God controls me and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. How do you do this, Paul? Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Let the Spirit man walk. Let it dominate you. Then you can't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Simple. Walk in the Spirit. Walk not by flesh, not by flesh information, not by flesh mindedness, not by flesh domination. Walk in the Spirit. Walk by faith. You are born again. You have a new life. Paul said, old things are passed away. A new life has begun. This new life is the life of God, eternal life that God put in my spirit. Gave me his nature. Gave me his nature. Galatians 5:25. If we live in this spirit, let us walk in this way. What does it mean to live in this way? It's simple. The scripture told us, if you have, it says you are in the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of Christ in you. You are in the Spirit. That's Romans chapter 8. You are in the Spirit if you have the Spirit of Christ in you. Because once the Spirit of Christ is in you, you are created a new spirit. You have come alive. That's what it's saying. You are in the Spirit if the Spirit of Christ lives in you. Which means you have come alive, a new spirit, a new life. So he said, if we live in the Spirit, if we are created new and we are spirit beings, let's walk, let that spirit walk, let it manifest, let it lead us, let it lead us, let it be the dominant personality in your life. And by doing this, you deny the flesh activity, opportunity, and anything he wants to do. Because you see, you can't be led by two people at the same time. As long as you live in the Spirit, and then you walk by the Spirit, the flesh can guide you. You can't have two masters at the same time. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised Christ up from Jesus, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So it gives life. It takes over your mortal bodies and controls it. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, because we have a spirit that controls our body now. This, you give him dominance, it controls what you do. Your flesh has no option than to follow you. If I say I'm not going to the north, my flesh has no option. It wants to follow me. It will follow me. So I can't be given excuse Can't be given an excuse and say, oh, we're all human. He said, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors. We don't owe the flesh nothing. Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We don't owe it anything. Because the spirit of he that raised Christ from the dead is at work in my spirit. Christ lives in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me with his fullness of power. And then he walks in me, guiding me. And the life of Christ is manifested. So I'm not following the flesh. If I'm not following the flesh, then I don't owe the flesh anything. That's what he said in verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Now, we've read it before. Now, in Romans 12:1, it says, letting the new life in you dominate you through your heart is what really is the service you offer to God. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You allow your spirit to dominate. This scripture is saying the same thing with Romans 8:11-13 with it. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. This world thinks only about carnal things, natural things, because they don't know the spirit things. So don't be conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So be you transformed, renewing of your mind. Start thinking spiritual. See yourself the way God sees you. And the Bible says, if you walk by this spirit, you put to death, you deprive your flesh, life, and activity. Put it to death. Now, why are we saying this? Because all the three things you do as a Christian is done by your spirit, not by your flesh. Number one, the fruit of the spirit is what we've been talking about. How to be it. It's called the fruit of your spirit, not the fruit of your flesh. It's the life of the new spirit. It's the eternal life. So it's your spirit that produces, that the Holy Spirit walks through your spirit. This life that God gave you, is what the fruit of it is what we call the fruit of the spirit. It's by your spirit. No, the flesh is sinful. Number two, guidance of the Holy Spirit is only through your spirit, because your flesh cannot follow God. Number three, the gift of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are in the church, in the Christian, it's only by your spirit. So now, if you don't see yourself as the spirit man, you will miss out on all this three. You miss out on the fruit of the Spirit, because the flesh cannot bear fruit of the Spirit. It's not spirit. Then you miss out on guidance of the Holy Spirit because you follow your mental things and reasoning and everything. And then the manifestation of the Spirit, you won't even know what it means. And even when the Spirit wants to manifest, because you are too much in the flesh, you will resist him. You feel it's odd because you are walking by feeling. So you miss out on all these three things. That is the core things that you do as a Christian. Now, so look at 1 Corinthians 3:1. Oh, sorry, we've read that one before. Now let's go and do the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I did this as background, so we understand the importance of seeing ourselves as the spirit that God created. Now, guidance of the Holy Spirit. How does God guide us? Number one, guide us by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. The scripture is a lamp to guide my feet and is a light to my path. If the scripture does not endorse it, it's not your path to follow. You don't go there. And I want to say something. We must get ourselves into the word of God, studying the scriptures to grow our spirit man, to be more matured, so that the guidance of the Spirit of God will be something that we can understand better. It's just like a natural thing. A baby does not understand guidance. He has to grow. The more he grows, the better he understands guidance. At a point, he doesn't need you. He understands guidance. A spiritual baby does not understand guidance. Remember that Paul said, you are babies because you are carnally minded. So you don't even understand spiritual things. I can't even talk to you spiritual things. So how does a spiritual baby understand spiritual guidance? He's always dependent on people. Pray for him, do this for him. He's always dependent. Look at Luke chapter 16, verse 26. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You remember the rich man and Lazarus? This is Lazarus talking. This is the rich man talking to Father Abraham. He said, look, I have five brethren. Please, can you send somebody to go and preach to them so that they don't come here? Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. We have the Bible. Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. If they don't listen to scripture, they cannot be persuaded, even if the Holy Spirit is standing before them and staring them in the face. That's what the scripture is saying. Even if the Holy Spirit is staring them in the face, they're not going to listen. So we need to go and get acquainted with scripture and begin to listen to scripture, giving to us lamp to guide us, light to our path, so that when God now guides us through other means, then we can follow. But if we think that this is magic, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not like that. Isaiah 8:20. Look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark. So once anything is contradicting his word, you have no business with it. In Matthew chapter 18:16, but if he will hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. You can't run with one verse. You can't. You need another verse. You need two or three verses to give you the proper context of what the scripture is saying. Some people run with one verse, and then they run with it and ruin their lives and ruin people who listen to them. You need two or three witnesses of the scripture. You need it to be able to establish the context in which the scripture is addressing an issue. Now, second way that God leads us is in every detail of our life is the witnessing that the Holy Spirit gives our spirit. Remember, I said that this guidance that God gives is by our spirit. You can't even risk, the carnal mind cannot understand scripture. You cannot understand. That's why you pray that God will open your spiritual eyes so that Jesus said, he that has ear, let him hear. The Holy Spirit said, he that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit is talking to the churches. But they all have ears, but that's not the ear he's talking about. Now here, second way that God leads us is in every detail of our life is the witness that the Holy Spirit gives our spirit, which our spirit in turn gives us, passes it on to our intellect. Is a witness, a sharing. The Holy Spirit makes our spirit know, because the Spirit of God lives in us. It joined to Christ. So it lives there. So they have intimacy all the time. So our spirit gets information from the Holy Spirit and passes it on to us. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit witnesses to our spirit, hey, this is what is happening here. This is a child of God. And then our spirit in turn witnesses to your mind, to your soul, to your intellect. The Holy Spirit does not talk to your intellect directly. He talks to your spirit, who in turn talks to your intellect. Because that's your spirit. That's your spirit. It's your spirit. So it bears witness with our spirit, and our spirit in turn witnesses to us. 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God had the witness in himself. The witness is in himself. Job 32, verse 7. I thought, listen to this, I thought, those who are older should speak for wisdom. Should speak for wisdom comes with age. But there is a spirit within people. The breath of the Almighty within them. Within the breath is life. Within them that makes them intelligent. He said, God, there's a spirit in us that has this life of God, that through which can make us intelligent, make us spiritually intelligent. Verse 9. Sometimes the elders are not wise. Sometimes the aged do not understand justice, because this spirit swamps all of them in wisdom and understanding. There's a spirit you have. It has the breath of God. It's through this spirit that God makes you wise, makes you intelligent, gives you guidance. Now, this guidance by the inner witnessing is not spectacular, but it's spiritual. I mean, it is spiritual. It's supernatural, because it is of the spirit. So what is it? This witnessing, how does it really practically work? Luke 1 verse 79 will show you how it practically works in your life. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Once you are thinking of something and you have a disquiet in your spirit, I'm not talking of your flesh. I'm not talking of your flesh. I'm talking in your deep down, you have a disquiet. That's a signal you shouldn't go. That's a witness that God, this witnessing I'm talking about, is not a voice. You don't hear, this is not a voice something. It's you have this disquiet, this discomfort deep down you. I'm not, your flesh can give you disquiet, quit it, wrong. Remember, your flesh doesn't, it's not, God doesn't lead you by your flesh. I'm talking of inside of you. You have this disquiet, this you uncomfortableness down you. This is wrong. Then that's your spirit witnessing. Don't go. Don't. You know, if we do our investments listening to our spirit, we'll never be poor. We'll never do wrong investments. And then if you have peace down there, the peace that passeth all understanding, you can't even, you may not have reason. It passeth all understanding. But he said, this peace will garrison your heart. It will guard your heart. It's like a soldier. It's right there. It's not going anywhere. Down, deep down, you have that peace in you. Then that's a signal that the Spirit is saying, go ahead. Your flesh might be screaming, but you have this peace within you. Then you go ahead. So that's one way your spirit witnesses to you, by way of peace or by way of disquiet. Your deepest peace. Then another way that your spirit will witness to you is by spiritual perception, spiritual knowing. Your spirit knows everything. Why? Look at scripture now. Look at scripture and understand this man that God created. 1 John 2:20. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. The spirit is joined unto the Lord. It's one. Because Christ lives in him. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Hope of glory. Part of the glory is that you have superior information, more than your intellect can know. Look, if you practice these things, even as a businessman, even in school, you run up against someone, even in your exam hall, you can look up to the Holy Spirit and listen to your spirit and get the answer. He knows everything, because he joined to Christ, and Christ means they have continuous fellowship, non-broken fellowship with the Spirit of Christ. Non-broken. And the Spirit of Christ shares with him everything. Look at 1 John 2:20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. That's what I'm saying. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So if somebody is proposing to marry you, you should know. He says, concerning them that seduce you. I'm writing this because people will try to seduce you or deceive you, even in business or something. He says, but the anointing which you have received of him abided in you, and you need not that. That's what I say. You need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, marriage, engagement, whatever, business, school, am I to be a nurse, am I to be a doctor, of all things, teaches you of all things. And it's truth, and it's no lie. And even as it had taught you, you shall abide in him. So this spirit man you have, Christ is in him, witnessing to him whether you should be a nurse, whether you shouldn't be a nurse. But the point is that we won't listen. We don't even know we have this spirit in us. We don't even recognize the spirit man in whom Christ lives that talks to you. It's alive, very much alive as you are physically alive, real alive. We neglect him to our own disadvantage. Because we are so carnal-minded, we've lived our lives in all this reasoning. Everybody says, no, money comes there. Really? Did he say go? Did you ask him? Did you really take time to say, Lord, I need to know? And then listen to your spirit and see. So there's this inner, because your spirit knows everything, you can know things just like that by your spirit. A deep knowing. You just know that this is it. You just know it. This one is not whether you have anything. I'm talking of you just know that, yeah. Somehow within you know that this is. I was just sharing with my wife. I said, do you know, the day I met you, I knew you were my wife. And I wasn't even thinking of marriage. I was in my second year of university. Who talks of marriage second year of university? But I met her, I said, I knew that's my wife. I knew it. Immediately, I knew it. That's what I'm saying. That because your spirit knows all things, it will minister to you. You know it. It will impact that knowledge, that perception that, yeah. When you see, haven't you seen some people, you know something is wrong with it. It's something you just know. You say, I can't put my finger on this thing, but I know. But I know it. So that spirit imparts this knowing to us. So we just know. We just know it. We just know. Just simply know that, hey, this is not my wife. This is not my husband. I know it. Why do it? This knowing is not from my head. It's not from my head because I love this man too much. But I know it's not my husband. It's not from your head because sometimes your head is going the other direction. It's going the other direction. So we must understand it that the spirit in us knows. He knows. He knows. Really understands. So he passed that knowledge, that knowing to us. And then look at Acts 27, verse 10. And he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Paul didn't say God told me. He didn't say God told me. He said, I just perceive. I just know. I just perceive this. This is going to happen. I know it. He didn't say God told me. No. He just, I perceive it. And said unto him, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. The centurion said, this man, you're not a seaman. What are you talking about? Let's ask those who go through the sea, who have experience. That's what Job is saying. He said, wisdom doesn't come with age and all these things. So there's a spirit in you that has the breath of life that gives you intelligence. So they didn't listen to Paul. Paul was hearing from his spirit and saying, there's going to be this. So not that God told me, I just know it. But they didn't listen to him. And so, verse 12, and because the heaven was not commodious to winter in, and the more part advised to depart tents also. So the majority said, my friend, let's go. This place is not a good place. And if by any means they might attend to finish and dare to winter, which is an heaven of Crete, and lied towards the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, the wind was blowing softly. You know, we don't follow your eyes. Don't follow your flesh. They don't know anything. There's a spirit in man. The breath of God is in him. And God, through the spirit, will make you smart and intelligent. Everything was looking good. The same thing with marriage. You follow it. Others are married. It's my time. I must marry. I have to marry you. I got to marry. 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 And then I got to marry you. Got to marry. 6 months, you found out you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to do that. And then your pastor begins, I will pray for you, advising, calling. Because the breeze was good, you know. He will come, put perfume, smelling wonderful. Breeze, awesome. And then you ask all these guys that are giggling and say, hey, He's wonderful. If I was in medical school, and verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose now, losing things, they sailed close to Crete, close to be safe. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up unto the wind, we let her drive. It wasn't long. What Paul knew started to happen. All that glitters in life is not gold, but God has given us a spirit through which he will guide us. The spirit lives in you. Why should we neglect the new man? Why should we be spirit-minded and know that we are born again spirits of God and that the spirit of God lives in us and our spirit can know things? And look up to your spirit. Always look up to that man living in you. Look up to, the man was created for good works. For good works. For good works. Good works include success in life for you, not just for others, for you. Look up to what God created you to be. And then you live where God wants you to be. So how many times we ignore the word witness? We want something out in the senses realm, majority, where people are talking. We seek the sensational, and then we miss the supernatural. Now, the third one, the voice of your spirit. Your spirit also talks to you because it has a voice. It's a living being. 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. So my spirit prays by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in him, united to him. So it's never really in disaster. It's always joined to the Holy Spirit, continuous fellowship. Everything he does is together. That's why he can guide you. He knows things. And the Bible says he prays too. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, that me praying, but the Holy Spirit within me prays through him. Both of them. You see, we have a natural voice. You speak naturally. Well, your spirit also has a voice and speaks because he prays. And not only does he pray, he sings. Because Paul said, I sing by my spirit. I pray by my spirit. So if your spirit prays. He prays and talks to you. But the voice is not noisy. It's not outside voice. Please, don't you ever expect outside voice. But you know now, he speaks to us all the time. And he will say, something told me, I wouldn't have done that. You know, something was talking to me. Stop calling him something. That's your spirit talking to you. But because you are so carnal-minded, you just put him in the back burner, you don't recognize him. It's not something. That's your spirit talking to you. Say, something has been telling me this. Because you're carnally minded. If you were spiritually minded, training yourself, you would have known my spirit is telling me this. I'm not going to do that. At least you go pray more. So he speaks to us. He talks to us. Then the other way he guides us is what I'm going to take on is by your conscience. The Holy Spirit guides us through our conscience. But there's no time. So I'm going to start from the conscience next Thursday. And then we see different types of consciences we have. And if our conscience is a reliable guide for us. So we've mentioned that the Holy Spirit guides us by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit that he gives him through peace or lack of peace, through knowing. You just know. And through the voice he speaks to you. Stop calling him something. Start recognizing him. You know what? The believers meeting yesterday, and I was looking at my screen. He said, your wife is going to speak next. And lo and behold, my wife started speaking. I said, wow, that's true. Before, I wouldn't have even recognized it. He said, your wife is speaking next. I was so thrilled. I said, yeah, that's true. And when my wife started to speak, I'm like, wow. Even when I wanted to lead prayer, he said to me, "Say, if you don't lead prayer, somebody start talking the next minute." And it happened like that. Somebody started talking the next minute. He said, now lead prayer now. Lead that prayer now. You know, so he gets involved in anything in our lives. If we let him. The Lord will help us to understand in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Precious Father, we just want to thank you for the privilege to start to study these things, because they are for our own good. Help us to have interest. Help us to really have interest, so that you can give us understanding in all of these things. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.